It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Rico Bronya, kicking the balls, drive home edition of Rico Bronya. I'm leaving Citi Field, doing my best to not hit anybody as I leave the parking lot after 40,000 people, or whatever the hell they announced, walk out of here very disappointed, very comatose from an absolutely brutal New York Met loss. Yes, they showed fight. Yes, they came back. Yippity-doo-dah. They were down 5-0. They came back. They tied the game at 5. It looked like they were going to win it. Pete Alonso's up. Bases loaded, one out. And the New York Mets find a new way, a creative way. Actually, featured a lot of similarities from the past, to just frustrate you, to punch you in the face, or as I colorfully said, kick you in the balls, as they continue to really struggle since that 7-game winning streak. And there are so many little things that cost them this game. Obviously, Mike Sarbaugh not sending Tyrone Taylor on the Francisco Lindor double will stand out at you. As my young son Jeff pointed out, if they would have sent him, we'd be walking out right now. That's what he was saying in between the bottom of the 9th inning into the top of the 10th inning, and he's right. Now, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I think that watching Taylor head towards third and watching as that ball is coming in and then it got boxed around a little bit, my thought is, yes, I think he's got a great chance to score. My other thought is they do have Juan Soto coming up. They do have Pete Alonso coming up. And I think we would all have signed for the situation that this Met offense found itself in the bottom of the 9th inning. I mean, Pete Alonso, up until that strikeout, was set up with an awesome day. He was 4-for-4. Let's not forget that, including the home run that got him within one of tying Darryl Strawberry for the all-time Met record. So Pete, with the bases loaded, one out in a tie game, I think we'd all sign for that. With that said, you want to see aggressiveness. Tyrone Taylor is out there because he's got one thing he can still contribute to this team. Because God knows he can't hit. He's not going to be out there much for defense with Mullins on this team. So he is the replacement for Luis Angel Acuña. And we pointed that out the day they traded for Cedric Mullins on our trade deadline, Rico, that's his role. He's Luis Angel Acuña. He's not quite as fast, but he's got speed. So in a spot like that where Lindor dunks the line drive in a right field and Taylor is flying towards third base, you figure he can score. And it's not his fault, because what I found myself doing on that play was staring at Mike Sarbaugh. I was staring at him because I wanted to see, is he going to send him? Is he going to be aggressive and try to win this game? Hold on 1 second. I got this Nissan that's moving up towards me. See, here are the rules when you leave a parking lot. Let me just point this out. It's in every other car situation. So the BMW in front of me got to go. Now it's my turn. I don't care if you're a Nissan, a Cadillac, a Toyota. It doesn't matter. It's an every other person thing. And sometimes people don't understand that. Now, that guy did let me go, but it was a little tight. But I am currently leaving the Citi Field parking lot. It was a pretty big crowd. I'm not sure what they announced. Maybe Hoff will tell us. You signaling me to go? Okay, thank you. But getting out of the parking lot can sometimes be a challenge, because my goal, it's a very simple goal. I don't want to hit anybody. I don't want to jinx myself as I leave the parking lot, but I have never hit anybody. Actually, I did hit one person, but that was not leaving the Citi Field parking lot. That was driving to Barclays Center. And it was a very scary experience, because I was driving down the streets of Brooklyn and I hit somebody very gently. I mean, I was going 5 miles an hour, so it wasn't like a bad hit. And I got out of the car immediately and I saw a kid and a woman. And I was like, oh my God, did I hit them? Luckily, I didn't. I just hit some guy. But I felt very nervous. But it was a love tap. It was one of those things where I didn't hit them hard. But when you leave the Citi Field parking lot, the goal is, very simple goal, is not to hit anybody. My dad once hit somebody. It was a Yankee fan during the Subway Series. And without even batting an eye, says, well, there's a Yankee fan. And I'm like, Dad, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, what the hell does that mean? So I have successfully left the Citi Field parking lot. Anyhow, back to Tyrone Taylor and Mike Sarbaugh. So I'm staring at Sarbaugh, hoping he's going to give him the send, because I want to win the game and I want to go home. And this would have been an awesome victory. This would have been a as I like to call it, a DVD victory. Something you put on the little championship DVD if, God forbid, this season actually goes in the direction, which no one actually thinks it will. But all of the things, go ahead, all of the things that frustrate us about this team, the lack of big hits, I mean, that's really the number one thing. I can't say the defense has killed them all year. It's not like they're the Yankees, but we'll get to the Brett Beatty play. But the lack of clutch hitting is what has killed this team all year. So even after they make this great comeback, and it was, I mean, they exploded on Hunter Gattis, which was great to see. I know Juan Soto didn't take him deep, but Soto comes up, rips a base hit. This is after Lindor hits one 100 miles an hour. I mean, they were just teeing off on this guy. And to complete the comeback, after Alonso with the three-run home run a few innings early to get this game tied, Vientos hits the ball 400 feet to at least tie the game up on the sacrifice fly. Right then and there, you're set up second and third, one out. You got to take the lead. And I was a little frustrated on the great play by Rocio, and Alonso's not running on contact. Rocio makes the great diving play. Alonso's just standing there, so that's missed opportunity one with second and third and one out. And then, of course, Brett Beatty comes up and grounds out, which is no surprise considering the way Brett's hit. He did get a base hit in extra innings to extend the game, but for the most part, he's done nothing. So you get the tease, the absolute tease in the eighth inning with them coming back to tie the game, blowing up all over Hunter Gattis. We saw Steven Vogt get very aggressive going to Cade Smith in the eighth inning, which was good managing. I give him a lot of credit. And then you've got the ninth inning that goes nowhere. And then you've got the bad defense. And look, Brett Beatty right now is literally on this team, I think, for his glove. That's why he's there. Because God knows he hasn't hit in weeks. He's been incredibly streaky this season. And when you look at the makeup of this roster right now, especially after the Cedric Mullins trade and Vientos waking up a tad and Mauricio giving you a sign of life. I mean, Brett Beatty is here because, and he has, he's played very good defense at third base and very good defense at second base. And that flexibility and that ability to make every play keeps him around. On the bunt play in the 10th inning with Ryan Helsley on the mound, you gotta just make the good throw to shortstop to Lindor covering at second base. And it was a bad throw. Lindor couldn't hold on, and it just, it set that 10th inning from hell in motion because obviously Mendy did the right thing walking Jose Ramirez. There's no question about that. Runner on second, nobody out. Ramirez up. Absolutely, you go to David Fry. I have no idea if David Fry can lay down a freaking bunt. And am I allowed to go? I got people going through red lights. I'm like, I don't think I can go through red lights, so I'm going to stay right here. What's up, man? How are you? Yes, yes. Two guys said, Evan Roberts, how are you? Well, the answer is, I suck right now. That's how I feel. Anyhow, I wasn't sure if David Fry can lay down a bunt. And I wasn't even sure he was going to lay down a bunt. Because in this day and age, there's no guarantee you're going to do that, even with first and second, nobody out in the 10th inning. And his butt sucked. I mean, if you're Brett Beatty, you got to make that play. And really, that inning was so infuriating because Ryan Helsley, in his second performance as a Met, thrown right into the fire, tie game 10th inning, really didn't do anything wrong. You want to get on him for giving up a fly ball to right field? I mean, literally, he puts Ramirez on because he's told to, in a good move. He faces David Fry, who can't get the bunt down. He gets a weak ground ball to first base. He gets a regular fly ball to right field. And that's it. I mean, he did his job. And, of course, he gives up two runs. Both should be unearned. I'm not sure how they scored it. But clearly those are two unearned runs. Obviously the first one is unearned because it's the ghost runner, but so should the second one. So Ryan Helsley doesn't do a bad job. This bullpen has looked great. Even Edwin Diaz, who gives up the leadoff hit with an 0-2 count in the ninth inning, and then of course a stolen base and an error, which puts himself in this horrible spot with a runner on third base and less than two outs. And even Edwin Diaz does a great... Sorry, there's a... I hear the siren. I don't know where the siren is. And I want to... Oh, it's right behind me. Okay. It's a police officer. Hopefully he's not pulling me over. I'm getting out of the way. Go ahead, fine, sir. Thank you very much. That's always frustrating. You hear the siren, and you're like, I don't know where it is. And I'm not trying to be a bad guy. I'm not trying to ignore the siren. I just don't know where you are. Are you going the other way? Are you right behind me? This was a police officer right behind me. Hopefully he's catching a bad guy. Anyhow... I've been told by a few emailers that I should not say where I am right now because it is a shortcut that I take to avoid traffic leaving Citi Field, and the emailer once told me that it will no longer be a secret shortcut if you blab on the Rico Bronya on your Drive Home podcast. So I'm not going to say where I am. All I'll say is I'm going to skip traffic, and I'm going to get home at a reasonable time. That's all I'll say. But Edwin Diaz does a great job. Tyler Rogers worked through trouble when he gave up his leadoff base hit. I mean, this Met bullpen, if you're looking for a positive, and right now they're playing like crap as a team, so positives are the only thing that keep you mentally healthy. This bullpen is everything I think we dreamt of when David Stearns made the deals at the deadline. You see the length of it. You see Reed Garrett has pitched well lately. Tyler Rogers pitches a scoreless inning. Edwin Diaz pitches a scoreless inning. Ryan Helsley pitches a scoreless inning. Brooks Raley comes in and gets a guy out. But the Cleveland Guardians tried to bring the Mets back into this game. Think about how they made a 5-0 game 5-3. A strikeout wild pitch, and Juan Soto, who, yes, he hits the ball very hard a lot, hits a hard-hit ground ball to second base that should have been a double play. And so the sixth inning, after the Met bats did absolutely nothing against Slade Ciccone for the first five innings, that whole rally is set up by the Cleveland Guardians' ineptitude. Strikeout wild pitch, and what should have been an easy double play gets booted by Rocchio, who made up for it later in the game with that great diving play. And look, great job by Pete, hitting the three-run home run, getting things really exciting on the chase for Darryl Strawberry. But, I mean, even when the Mets rally, it's handed to them. And what was so really tough to watch, after Pete hits the home run, which electrifies Citi Field, for a few reasons. A, it brings him back in the game. I mean, it felt over when Shaw and I imploded the way he did in that sixth inning. Not only does it bring him back in the game, but now you got the Pete Alonso home run chase, which I do think is pretty cool. And after that, they do nothing to end the sixth inning. They do nothing in the seventh inning. And then finally, the bats woke up for that rally against Hunter Gaddis in the eighth inning. So it's sort of the same thing from the offense. You get a little explosion, a little excitement, like we got in the sixth inning and the eighth inning. But outside of that, they don't do anything. And they make Slade Ciccone look great for the first five-plus innings of this game. So this offense, which we are waiting on to wake up, and it did get a little bit more production today, specifically from Lindor and Alonso, really from Alonso. Brandon Nimmo continues to look completely lost at the plate. I was hoping Nimmo was going to get that chance when Torrens came up in the 10th to at least atone for the golden sombrero. Like 0-for-5 with four strikeouts, here's his sixth plate appearance, two on, two out, down by run. I was really hoping he was going to get that spot to at least atone for how bad he was offensively. But, of course, Torrens hits a fly ball to right field that teased us a tad and gets caught right in front of the fence. But this offense continues to be incredibly streaky, and this game was a great example of it. I mean, they went out and scored a bunch of runs, and they ended up scoring six runs in this game. But think about when they did it, and think about how lifeless they looked for a big part of this game and the missed opportunities they had early against Ciccone. As far as Shaw Manaea is concerned, I don't know what to make out of this. He was great for the first five. He was great. And he was efficient. His pitch count was low, so I'm thinking what you're all thinking, which is, wow, they're going to be able to get innings from their starting pitching, because here's Shaw Manaea now in his fourth start back. I think it was his fourth start back. He's pitching great. He's wheeling and dealing. He's throwing strikes. Keep that in mind. I'll give you another dopey positive from this mess of a game. Met pitching walked one guy. It was intentional. So for a staff that walks way too many people in this game, from beginning to end, from Shaw Manaea to the end, they really didn't walk anybody, unless you want to count the intentional pass to Jose Ramirez to start the 10th inning. But Manaea was an A-plus five innings, and the sixth inning was just, it was bad all the way around. I don't even think Mendy did anything wrong. I'm sure I got a lot of emailers saying they should have pulled him after he gave up the hit to Carlos Santana, but, you know, I still felt good that he was going to get through the inning. And unfortunately, he gives up that just absolute bomb to Gabriel Arias, which is still going. I mean, that was a moonshot. And so Manaea turns what I thought was one of the sharpest performances he had of the season, five scoreless innings, and it turns into a final line of, what, 5 2/3 innings, five runs? Just a bad, overall bad game based on one bad inning, based on that implosion in the sixth inning. I'm not concerned about him. it just really happened at a bad time. I mean, when you think about the state of this rotation, the way Montas pitched on Sunday, the way Kodai Senga pitched on Saturday, really the way Senga's pitched since coming off the injured list, it's just, it was bad timing for Sean Manaea to have that kind of one-inning implosion that turns a 0-0 game, which, yes, is on the offense. I mean, the offense did nothing through the first five innings like we talked about, so there was no margin for error, but turns a very close game into what appeared to be a game they were just going to be non-competitive in. Now, do I take any moral victory from them coming back? Not really. I guess for the entertainment of being at that game on a Monday night with my son, sure. But it makes it worse. It makes it more frustrating. And when you look at the scoreboard and you see the Philadelphia Phillies taking care of business, all of a sudden, from, hey, we're in first place despite all these struggles, now they're a game and a half out. And you don't want to lose room in terms of catching Milwaukee, who's been red hot, or catching LA, or catching Philadelphia, or catching Chicago for that first wild card spot, which is important if they're not going to win the division. So you just lose ground to everybody, and you just got to look around and say, this team's playing bad baseball after playing great for a week. They won seven in a row, things felt good, and look what's happened since. They've lost six out of their last seven games, and look at the schedule. You got two more with these guys. You got three games with Milwaukee. It's just, it's becoming very difficult to remain confident. That's what I would say, the state of my brain as I leave the ballpark. It's just very difficult to remain confident, because the other thing is, and this is more of an emotional thing more than it is a fact-based thing, the team doesn't feel very special. You know, this kind of win would have been special, and it would have gone a long way to maybe changing that thing you can't measure, which is, are they special? Is this a special season? Is this a unique season? Is this a magical season? This would have been a win that you put on the leaderboard and say, yeah, see, it's magical. But they haven't had a lot of that this season. And things just feel off. And right now, they got to find a way to get hot again, because the standings, which have been so favorable to them for a long time, it can get out of control real quick. Just ask the Yankees. A couple of things. We saw Pete Alonso DH today, and in the very first inning, we saw Mark Vientos not know how to catch a pop-up. Thank God Lindor, McNeil, they all made good throws to first base, so we didn't see Vientos tested on his scooping ability, which we know Pete Alonso has done so well. But I get trying to give him a DH day. I totally get it. I don't know if Pete's pressing to try to get the Darryl's record. He certainly didn't look that way today until he came up with the bases loaded in the ninth inning or the eighth inning or whatever the hell inning that was. Was that the ninth inning? I can't even remember at this point. It all melts together. I think I said it earlier in the Rico, whatever friggin' inning it was. But either way, just a very frustrating loss. Very frustrating loss. And hopefully they can turn things around. Carlos Mendoza and David Stearns remain committed to not calling up one of their top prospects. We did see Mendy open up the window to Frankie Montas being used as an opener over the weekend against Milwaukee. Look, if you have to get that cute to get a guy that you paid $17 million a year to get through five or six innings, then you may as well call up one of your young studs and move him to the bullpen. Now, the good thing about an opener situation, the Met bullpen is now deep enough where if you want to open with Gregory Soto or you want to open with Brooks Raley, you absolutely can. You got multiple lefties in the bullpen. You got a deep pen. So you can. I mean, it's not like you can't do it, but it just shows you the state of the rotation. That here we are, how many starts? Seven starts in a Frankie Montas' Met career. And we're already opening up the door to openers. And it certainly sounded like that's what Carlos Mendoza is going to do over the weekend. And here's David Stearns basically saying, yeah, we're not ready to call the kids up. We're not ready. Now, this loss on Monday against Cleveland is not about the kids not being called up. But, you know, you start to think ahead to the Milwaukee series and really the rest of August. And you realize, oh, man, Frankie Montas has to start every 5 days. That is not ideal. Now, the Pete Alonso thing, I was having a text discussion with my wife. She knows me so well. Did you just laugh, Jet? Are you listening? Are you laughing at me or are you doing something else? I think he's doing something else. All I said is I had a text discussion with my wife. Jet finds it funny. But I texted her. I said, honey, Pete Alonso had a home run today. He's one away from the all-time Met record. And her response was, oh, my baby's going to go to the game on Tuesday as well. And I'm like, damn it. Is she saying that passive-aggressively? Like, oh, here we go. You're going to the, you set me up to go to the game Tuesday. Or was that, hey, baby, I know how much Pete Alonso and the New York Mets mean to you. Go to the game on Tuesday. So I've got to figure that one out. I got to sleep on that. Maybe talk about that on Evan and Tiki tomorrow and try to figure it out. But I am into the Alonso chase. Now, I enjoy it more in wins. Obviously, today, he hits the three-run home run that gets him back in the game. He comes up later in the game with a chance to be a hero, with a chance to have that home run to tie Darryl Strawberry come in an epic way. And it may not. I mean, it could come in the first inning of tomorrow night's game. It could come in a game in which they're down 8-0. Who the hell knows? Think about David Wright's hit. I think it was to pass Ed Cranepool. It was an infield hit in late September of a season that was going nowhere, to the point where nobody remembers it. But I am into it. I'm more into Alonso tying and passing Darryl than I was David tying and passing Ed Cranepool. I don't know if it's just home runs, if that's just a sexier number. I don't know if the... I think what it is that, you know, the Mets have been around for a long time. And while Darryl Strawberry left earlier than he should have and didn't have a full career here where that number is, you know, 400 home runs or higher, he was a slugger. And so no offense to Ed Cranepool, who was a fine Met who spent his whole career here, passing and tying Darryl Strawberry, just the name makes it feel more special than tying or passing Ed Cranepool. So I'd like to be in the building to see it. Now, knowing Pete Alonso, my dad made this point the other day, he could go 100 more plate appearances without a home run. So he may not hit one in the final two games against Cleveland. He may not hit one in Milwaukee. And then the Mets come home again. They have a lot of games at home in August that they better start taking advantage of. So far, they haven't. Who knows when he's going to tie and break this record? But I'd like to see it. I just wish it happened on Monday. I wish it happened before I was getting in the car. I wish it happened to win a freaking game. Now, it's tough to kill Pete. He had four hits. He was awesome in this game. Was in the middle of some big moments. The three-run home run, the base hit, and the rally in the eighth inning. Like, I got no Pete Alonso complaints. But yes, as he came up, especially with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning, I was certainly hoping, ah, man, this would be so special, especially when I talk about, like, that DVD moment. The other thing, and let me get ahead of this, these drive-home podcasts are fun, but I would always say to Hoff is, do me a favor, send me the link that I need to click on, and I'll tweet it out, you know, before I ever get in the car. Because when I'm in the car, I got to drive. I got to be safe. And doing this podcast is not risky because I'm just driving. And I'm talking, which I would do anyway. I'm not looking anywhere. I'm not pressing any buttons. I'm just talking. So I say to Pete, you know, just send me all the info beforehand. Maybe I'll tweet it out. I'll click on the link. We're good to go. When Alonso was up with the bases loaded, it happened to be the time I tweeted out, hey, incoming drive home Rico. I didn't tweet it because I thought they were going to win. I didn't. I promise you. It was simply, and Hoff, back me up on this. That's when you sent the link. I wanted to get it over with so I didn't have to think about it. So I don't want to be accused of, oh, you thought they were going to win. You tweeted out, hey, check out the drive home Rico. Not true. I promise you, not try. I never assumed they're going to win. Never. What kind of Met fan would I be if I assumed that good things were going to happen? That's not who we are as a people. So that was a coincidence. All right? I want to make that clear before I got people giving me crap that you jinxed the Mets on Monday night because Alonso came up and you tweeted out incoming Rico. It didn't matter if they lost, they won, whatever happened. We were doing a drive home. If you're a loyal Rico Bronya, you know that. I said that the other day. So I just want to clear my name. Anyhow, terrible loss. We'll get back at it Tuesday night with game two of this three-game series. And hopefully the Mets can just start turning this thing around. Because seven in a row to losing six out of seven. What a world. What a world. Thank you very much for downloading, listening, and hanging out on this drive home edition of Rico Bronya.